Let's continue in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to both your written and your spoken word. Help us to seek you this day. We thank you that you are present with us. We thank you that you are already speaking to us, Lord. So we ask for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been here last couple of weeks, if you haven't, we start a new series called Alter Ego. And we've got an altar underneath here. I haven't revealed the word yet. The word will be revealed soon. But it's an altar. And the idea of an altar is that in the old days, they used to sacrifice something on the altar. Just to lay something down and kill it. And the idea of an ego, we came to understand, is how we view ourselves, who we think we are. And the idea of this series is to say, what are some of the things that we need to lay down so that we might become more of who God says we are and who God calls us to be? So we're going to dive straight in today and by faith, and we're going to lay down our need for control. All right. Quick question. Who knows a control freak? Point to them. No. Don't do that. Raise up your hand if you realize that you like to be in control of things. Okay. We all do, don't we? We've all got things in our lives that we want to be in control of. And it's really interesting how we want to control some things in our lives, and we don't care so much about other things in our lives. For example, you might be controlling at work. In your workplace, you have everything and everything set up to go, and you've got this, and this happening, and you're in charge, you're largely in charge, you're ready to do it, telling everyone what to do. But when you get home, it's like, I don't care. It's not that important to me. Or perhaps you're the opposite, at home, really controlling. Just do it this way or die, but when you get to work, you're quite relaxed. It could be that you're controlling with your finances. You know where every single penny goes, and it's really important. But when it comes to your kids, they can run around and do whatever they like. Isn't it interesting how we all have different things that we want to be in charge of or control? In our family, Vicky is in control of the lists. We have lists for everything. And I have to admit, I'm being true here, without them we'd be fairly lost. But even the lists, even if we've got lists, it doesn't mean that they control everything and they work out the way that we think they should. However, there is one thing. There's one thing, and there has been one person in our house who's been ordained by God to handle this very important spiritual machinery. It is the divine remote controller of the universe called the remote control for the TV. And God has anointed me as a controller of that. And every man, I believe, the Bible says. Because we know it's not just about what shows on now. We know that there could be two or three other shows that we could just check in on. And we know that we can watch two or three shows at once, even though we can't have a conversation with our wife and do the dishes at the same time. There are certain things. It's interesting how certain things get us riled up and other things really don't. And if we look at our lives, if we're being honest, I think that there are two areas that we really try to typically control. Two broad areas. People and circumstances. There's an old saying that goes like this: God loves people and has a wonderful plan for their lives. But sometimes in the lives of others, you and I feel like we're God. We kind of go, yes, we love people and we have wonderful plans for their lives. And we want to help them to see what we see and get them to do what we want them to do. And so without even realizing it sometimes, we manipulate, we bribe, we offer rewards. And at other times, we hold back rewards. Sometimes, some of us might get a bit passive-aggressive. And at times, even threaten. And quite often, these things happen without us even naming it or knowing it. That's with people. Sometimes we want to control our circumstances. We want to look just right. Who has ever gone, the house has to be perfect before they come over? Who has ever said to their children, go tidy up, the place has to be neat when they come? Yep. Quite a number of us. No, not me. We want our kids to go out in a way that when they go in public, they perfectly represent us. And so we try to control the circumstances. Make sure you've brushed your hair. Make sure you're wearing the same coloured socks. We want to control our schedules in the future, as well as others a lot of the time. We want to control what other people think of us. Many of us want to control the church. I've seen this many times in my last congregation. And there were some people that wanted to control the church so much and what it might look like in the future that they wouldn't allow others to lead. They just stayed and stayed and stayed and didn't allow the next right answers to be found. Quite often we want to control people and circumstances. And we do that quite often because our ego is somewhere out of control at times. Because we really believe, and let's admit it, we really believe that we kind of know what's best. We kind of become God-like. Ken Blanchard, anyone heard of Ken Blanchard? A number of people might have heard of Ken Blanchard. He talks about ego. And it's a bit corny, but I kind of like it as well. And it sort of comes down to a whole lot of what this is about today. He defines ego as this: edging God out. I know what's right, and I'm going to force it and not trust God. I'm going to edge God out, or I'll say it's God's thing, but it's really what I'm after. Now, if you're a control freak here, and you can be honest today, just raise your hand. And if you find yourself trying to raise somebody else's hand, raise your hand. I've got a verse for you that I want to start with. It's from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I'll be reading from the CFV, the Control Freak version. Okay, it says this: trust in the Lord with some of your heart and lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways acknowledge God and you will make your paths straight. Some of you might be saying, well, that sounds reasonable. Sounds like a good plan to me. And if we're being honest, that's how a lot of us operate. We might not want to operate that way, but that's how we operate, right? What does a real version say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. I just heard someone say I like the first one. The problem with control is this. The more that we try to control something, the more we fear losing control. And the more we fear losing control, the more we try to control something. And so we get caught in this vicious cycle that goes round and round and round like this. And suddenly we begin to spiral. And many of you are probably here thinking, oh, I hope so-and-so is here to hear this because I really need to. Now, I've got lots of honesty for you today. And whoops, I almost fell down the stairs. And I want to say that I want to inspire you as a disciple of Jesus and as your minister, but you really may not be inspired today by me. I hope my honesty helps you to deal with this area of control. I quite often have people say to me, hey Glenn, you really wrote that for me today. I can't believe that you wrote that and that's exactly what's happening in my life. Or if you're speaking to my life, did you know about this? And I always say, I do not write for anyone in particular. I really don't. I quite often write for myself. But I have to say, as I was preparing for this, I went, just in my heart of hearts, gee, I hope so-and-so and so-and-so are here to hear this today. And in doing so, I caught myself. Because the challenge of control is very difficult to see, even when you put a mirror up to your face. It's very hard for us to see our own need for control, because we quite often legitimately think that we know what's best. Quite often we're edging God out or edging others out and don't even know it. For those who are sitting here outraged by what I'm saying so far, go back to last week's sermon. Don't be offended. Now, of course, we need to be responsible and to plan. I'm not saying that we don't do that. I'm not saying that we don't plan for things, a whole responsibility. What I'm talking about today is giving up our need to control things. And it's a tricky little thing to work out, isn't it? Whether I've been given a position or given whatever it might be anywhere, or if I need to control that. Even when I haven't been given a position of authority, I sometimes want to control that. So what I'm going to do today is give you an example of some control gone bad. And then we're going to ask three questions. Three questions that you are going to be able to ask in any situation of your life where you might be looking, do I need to control this or not? So the story we're going to look at is an Old Testament story by a couple originally named Abram and Sarai, who became, and I remember doing it, sorry, just started, I remember doing an assignment on this in one of my subjects at uni. And to go through the assignment and change from Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah and know which context you're talking, very confusing. Had to read it about 27 times to get it right. Anyway, tremendous people who had a tremendous problem and took control of it themselves. You might remember the story. If not, I'll give you that overview. God says, I'm going to bless you, Abram and Sarai, and you're going to be parents of many nations. You're going to have so many descendants. It's going to be more than the sand on the beach and the stars in the sky. An incredible promise. Incredible promise. But when God didn't actually immediately do what God promised to do, over time, I'm going to call them Abraham and Sarah, probably. So Abram and Sarai did what many of us do. They moved away from trusting God to their own solutions. And then we pick up the story in Genesis 16, verses 1 to 4. Let me read this to you. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had bore him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant, perhaps, and isn't that an interesting word, perhaps I can build a family through her. In other words, I know God's promised, but he's not doing it right. Therefore, I'm going to take control because I know what's best. I'm going to edge God out and take control. It goes on. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. I mean, can you imagine a guy doing that? You can't, can you? Different culture, different time. Anyway, Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian servant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Now, the chances are, you're sitting there now going, well, I'm never going to sleep with a servant named Hagar. In fact, I don't even have servants because my children are left home. But what many of you might do is come across a situation in the next day or week or month where you are finding yourself trying to control something. Or you are actually getting worked up because you don't feel like you're in control of something. It could be that you're single and the clock is ticking and you love Jesus and you want to have a partner. But since there's no Christian man or woman around, you might settle for anyone. And you'll say, I'll just make this work. And we force something. We manipulate it. We compromise. Maybe it's financial. You're a strong follower of Jesus and you know that what you do with your finances matter. But given to the work of God through the local church, in fact, this whole idea of offering and worshipping God through it, I think I'll do that later until I'm out of debt. What is it for you? Because there's a question I'm going to ask you that I'm going to ask you and get to engage in right now. And I asked myself this question. It took me all of 2 seconds to identify two things. Here's a question. Really easy one. What are you trying to control? What are you trying to control? Is it people? Is it your children? Maybe it's your grown children. Maybe it's the way your grown children are raising your grandchildren that aren't doing it right. Maybe it's your co-workers. Maybe it's your image. Maybe it's the way people think about you. I want you just for a moment to think, what am I trying to control? And if you think this is a stupid exercise, then you might just prove my main point today. So, if you sort of identify something you want to control, if you just like give me a nod or a wink or a something so I know, okay, there's a few of you doing that, that's excellent. Probably a wink's probably not a good thing to do, but anyway. So once you're done, I want you to ask these following questions over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. The first question is this. Is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? Really? Honestly, is it? One time when Jesus was visiting the house of Mary and Martha, Martha was trying to control something that apparently in the end didn't matter that much. She wanted everything perfect, and she's freaking out, and she's saying, Jesus, get Mary to help me out. She's lazy. She's not doing anything. I want the place to be perfect for you when you're here. And whilst this is not the only thing in this passage to gain, Martha does get a hard time, right? But listen to the words of Jesus. He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. When we're feeling this way, we have to ask the question, is it my concern? So many of us are trying to control things that don't actually matter that much. That in a week's time, or a month's time, or 2 years' time, it's actually not going to be a big deal at all. So the first question to ask is, does it really matter? Does it really matter if those towels aren't folded properly? I've just set someone free, I'm sure. Does it really matter if your son goes off to school and he has not done his hair for 2 days? Will this alter the chance of him going to university? Will it send him to hell or to jail or both? No. Does it really matter? But he has to look right. When my kids were young, and I have a different story to Vicky on this one, slightly. When our kids were young, and it was raining, and they were playing outside, and it would rain, I'd be like, come inside, because you don't want to get wet. Don't want to get wet. Has anyone ever said that to the kids? Don't want to get wet. It'd be terrible if you got wet. Because they'd come inside, and the place might get wet, and I'd have to help change their clothes. And what if they got sick because they played in the rain? Because that's what happens, right? You get wet, and you get sick. Anyone take a shower? And I came to the point, and I'm pretty sure it was Vicky who led me to this point, of going, is it really important? Why shouldn't they play in the rain? It didn't really matter, right? And many of us treat home, work, even this church, like you're going to get wet, or wrecked, or sick, if things aren't done the way that we think they should be done. Is it worth my concern? The thing that sits beneath that for me is this. Is it worth my concern, or am I concerned about others? Or am I concerned about what I want? That's the first question to ask. Second question is this. Is it mine to control? Is it mine to control? And sometimes the answer is what? Yes. Sometimes the answer is yes. There's something for you to do about it. You've got a position. You've got a responsibility. And then other times there is a no. Let me say very clearly, surrendering control is not the same thing as relinquishing responsibility. Surrendering control is not the same as relinquishing responsibility. We should be responsible wherever we are. For example, if you've messed up financially, what should you do? You should cut back on your spending. Can you do something about it? Yes, you can. You can learn to budget. You can get a financial advisor. You can cut up your credit cards. You can do something about it. If your marriage is messed up, can you do something about it? Yes. You can pray about it. You can pray with your partner. You can go to a life group. You can go to counseling. You can do something about it. If you're a guy that hasn't been on a date for 7 years, boys off the back, do you trust God with it? Yes! Do something about it. Get involved. Go somewhere. Take a bath. Brush your teeth. Sell your Xbox. Get out of the house. Smile at girls. Ask them out. You can do something about it. Sorry, boys. Well, sort of not. There are some things that you just cannot control. So to ask ourselves, is it mine to control? And sometimes the answer will be no. And other times it will be yes. See, there's this big concept that we try to control everything in our lives. And we do. I look at my kids and I look at them and I kind of go, they are fantastic kids. And I know I have to say that, right? But they're not. They are. And I try to go, you know, I just want you to make sure you go to uni so you get this right job. And I kind of go, they don't have to go to uni to get a good job, to be happy, to be financially secure. But that's what I want them to do. And so I focus and funnel everything towards that. More so, Vicky focuses and funnels those things because she's good at that sort of stuff. Whereas James chapter 4 tells us this. He says, listen. He says, listen. You who say today or tomorrow will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and making money. I'm just going to get the scripture up here, sorry, because it is in the wrong spot here. Please do not send me a message or anything, anybody, at the moment, please. You guys. They're all boys, too. I won't name them. Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. The writer says, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears and for a life while a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We can't control tomorrow. And I want to call us up as a church to have a little bit more faith in God's faithfulness to us. Because I know it's so easy for us to plan and lead and all these sorts of things and edge God out rather than truly being faithful and wait for those only God moments. Ask yourself, is it my concern? Is it mine to control or the big one? Is it for God alone? Is it for God alone? You see, I think we often get anxious. In Philippians 4, we read this. Do not be anxious about anything. To which I kind of go, you know what? That's such a bad statement. How can you be anxious, not be anxious about anything? He goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You give it to God. You trust God. You surrender to God. And when you do that with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, Scripture tells us this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And can I tell you that when I see this happen in some of your lives, I am so encouraged. When you stop being anxious about things or trying to control things, it is such a good sign that the kingdom of God is present. Because so many of us, because of our ego, we try to control things and we get stressed and worried and anxious and consumed with fear because we're trying to control something that in the end is actually God's work. So, another honesty time right now. I feel stressed and anxious about this church a whole lot. I want so much for you to continue to step into the future that God has for you. Where you're connecting strongly with each other as a community, and as we, even more so, as we connect more strongly with the community in which we live. I desire so much to see lives, people's lives transformed by Jesus. And to see the more and more works that when we say, only God could do this. Not look what we've done, but only God could do this. I want to see so much our young adults and young people step well into leadership and to help us as a church grow, because that's what it's going to take. I want to see all these things for you, but if I'm being honest, part of me wants to see it for me. And I realize that I get anxious and worried and try to control things because I get my identity gets caught up in what I'm doing. Has anyone ever had their identity caught up in their work before? Has anyone ever had their identity caught up in a role that they play, either in a church, in a ministry, or in a community? Has anyone ever had that? Please raise your hand if that's you, because thank you, you make me feel so good. I'm not alone. And what I do when I get so anxious is this whole thing of, is it my concern? Yes, it is. Is it mine to control? We could argue that there could be some of that for me. But this whole thing of God alone goes out the door, because I sometimes think that I know what's best and I know what's right. And I have to realize, and I come back, I realize that while God has absolutely given me a call to help this place move into the future, in the end, it's not me or you that build this church. We play a part, but it's Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and He is building His church. Amen? If you weren't here back in 2014, we sort of did some revisioning, and we talked about, I remember it was in August, and we talked about this whole new purpose of us here. We talked about creating community and seeing lives transformed with Jesus. We unpacked that a little bit. We talked about our values, courageous faith, intentional outreach. I want to say grace-filled relationships, because that's where my head goes, but it's actually genuine relationships. Scriptural engagement, passionate worship, empowering leadership. Which one am I missing? I'm missing one. Something else. That's inspiring. Anyway, that's not the point of this. We unpacked these things. But I remember before I even went there, I've been searching, and I came across a scripture that really goes to the heart of the need of control. For me, but maybe it is for us as well. And it's this. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. This whole thing of control, we're trying to control things that are out of our control and edging God out. Rather than saying, God, in my anxiety, in my stress, in my need to control, would you please come into the center of this? Because I can't do it. It's amazing when I come back to something like this, I stress less. And my need for control diminishes just a little. So, let me ask you some questions. And these are yes-no questions, and they're not trick questions, okay? So, say it loud and proud. What do you think? Can you change your spouse? Okay, some of you are thinking this is a trick question. Some of you are wishing you could. But the answer is, no, you can't. Gee, Vic, you're not so loud, love. Jesus is working on me. Really hard. What can you do? You can love your spouse, you can pray for your spouse, you can encourage your spouse, but you cannot change them. So if your spouse needs changing, love them, pray for them, and trust God to do what only God can do. Let me ask a question. Can you heal a loved one that is sick? No, you can't do that. Can God? God can. God doesn't always in the way that we want, but God can. What can you do? You can pray for them. You can encourage them. You can care for them. You can tell them to seek the best medical advice around because God heals through the medical profession. And that ultimately what you do, you trust them to God. Because some of those things are for God alone. Can you control your future? You can shape your future. You can't control it, can you? Can you control the future of your children or anyone else that you love? No. What can we do? We can pray. We can encourage. We can give some wise counsel when asked. Whose hands are we in when it comes to the future? So why the hell do we try so hard to control it ourselves? I want to go back to Abraham for a moment. What did Abraham want more than anything else? A son. In that day and age, land, heritage was so important. And he wanted more than anything else to have a son. And what did God ask him to sacrifice? His son. If you don't know the story, let me give it a little. God promises him a son and then asks him to lay down the life of his son. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it? It makes me nauseous whenever I read this account. I just go, surely God, please don't ask me to do something that will require such sacrifice. And so the father, who for years had prayed for his son, says to his son, we're going to the top of Mount Moriah and we're going to make a sacrifice. And in my mind's eye, okay, this is my mind's eye, here is Abraham and his young son, son with the wood. They might have been holding hands, I don't know. And the son looks to his dad and says, hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And you know what Abram says? He says, the Lord will provide. Some of the most wonderful yet hard words for us to accept. And so here's this guy who wanted to control things, walks to the top, builds an altar, takes his son, puts him on it, raises a knife, and the angel says, don't lay a hand on him. I see you trust God. And Abraham looks over and he sees a sacrifice. And it says this in Genesis 22, verse 13. Abraham went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. When Abraham finally surrendered control, he actually got what he desperately wanted. Earlier on, I asked you to think about an area of control that you control or are controlling. I'm not talking about responsibility here, but your need for control in this area. And the question that sits beneath that is, what do you actually want with that? Sorry, did that not come through? So the question that sits beneath that is, that area that you want to control, what do I actually want from this? What is it that I really want? And that's what you need to ask God to provide. So it might be. No, actually, I won't go there. You know what it is for you. Think about it. I want to suggest that perhaps today that some of us are trying to control some things that are not ours to control. And that's why we are filled with anxiety and fear. And we hold on tighter and tighter and tighter. But when you take what belongs to God and lay it down on His altar, your God will provide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we pray that you would set some people free. That you would minister deep to us and within us. And even now, God, instead of edging you out, would you help us to trust you more fully? last couple of weeks, just with our eyes closed and we're praying, I've asked people to raise their hands just as a different way of doing things. And so I want to ask you now that, just with everyone's eyes closed, if everyone could participate in this, thank you. If you recognize that you're trying to control something and it's actually not healthy for you or for others, could you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Loving Father, for these people who have allowed your word to talk deeply into their lives this day, Lord, they don't raise their hand for me, they raise it as a sign of surrender to you. And Lord, I'd ask that you would help them. Whatever circumstances that they know is not causing them health or others' health, that Lord, that you would help them to ask the question, do I need to control this, or is this something I need to hand to you? Lord, would you give them the courage, the capacity, by the power of your Spirit, to do this? Just with eyes closed still, if you recognize that in your workplace, I'm talking to those people in the workplace, in your workplace that you try to control things, but you want to be a person that wants to release things more. I'm sticking my hand up for this. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Lord, for those of us who have a need to control the environments we're in our workplaces, we recognize that at times we may not actually show your incredible love and grace. We may not show your kingdom realities. Lord, would you help us not only to trust you, but to trust those others that you have given to us, that they might find to go here or to there as if you, Lord, were leading them. So, Lord, we hand these things to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I want to suggest that, of course, this is not covering everything this morning. You know, this is just a little touch on the surface of the thing about control. Again, if you would like to talk about this, please see myself or a great place to talk to the people in your life groups. Speak with them about it. Or perhaps it is that you do actually need to see a counsellor, someone that is more professionally trained in these things. Don't be afraid of that. Embrace it. It will bring you freedom and life.